that you help us today as we come to your word. Help us to hear it, to understand it, and take hold of it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Psalm 23 is one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. It has brought comfort to many people in their times of distress. It has been spoken many a time by the graveside. It is a beautiful psalm with such vivid imagery. A shepherd, a valley of the shadow of death, table of plenty. That even if you cannot remember every verse, the gist and meaning of it is much harder to forget. Perhaps even for many of you, this has been a psalm that has meant something for you at times in your life. This psalm is one that holds great promises. It begins with these famous words in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." A shepherd, of course, is one who looks after and cares for the sheep. He guards them from danger. He guides them to greener pastures. He leads them to water. It is a wonderful image, and it's easy for us to imagine the Lord God having such a role in our life. I mean, it's nice, isn't it, to hear these words that declare that the Lord cares for us. But what is harder to grasp is that we are the sheep. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you are his sheep. Sheep have some intelligence. I've heard that they can remember their way out of a simple maze. But sheep are helpless. And to understand that, we actually need to understand what shepherding was like in the time of David. Today, sheep are protected and guarded in many ways. They are kept within fenced boundaries. They are given water to drink in troughs, and when the grass is not green, they are fed on hay. There is really no opportunity for them to wander off, though sometimes that depends on the quality of your fencing and the persistence of your sheep. But in general, there are no great physical dangers to them, no place for them to get lost, no wild animals. These days, sheep can be left alone in their field without a shepherd. But in David's day, the situation was much worse for the sheep. There was no boundary fence stopping them from getting trapped in a ravine or to hold out wild animals that would love to eat them for dinner. And there were wolves, there were lions, there were bears. The sheep needed to be led from place to place to find food and water, and they needed to be kept safe from the wild. In such an environment, the sheep without a shepherd for any substantial period were as good as dead. Now, sheep in that context are helpless. They needed a shepherd. Without the shepherd, they would be destroyed. If the Lord is your shepherd, you are his sheep, and it means that you are helpless, and you need his constant watch. Now, you need his care. You need him. Is that how you are living? And do you live each day knowing that unless the Lord was watching you, you would be lost? Do you begin each day seeking his help and each day thanking him for his care? Because without the Lord, we would lead a cursed life, a life that would only end in death and hell. But with the Lord as your shepherd, you shall not want, and there is no need to fear. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And what does this mean? I want lots of money. The Lord is my shepherd, so will I get it? Is that what it means? Of course not. Now, the Hebrew that is there is speaking of necessity, something that is needed, and not everything that we want falls into that category. What the psalmist is saying is that I shall not lack. I shall not need. He's not saying that I will get all that I desire, all that I want. And sometimes in life we imagine that we need something. It might be that job. It might be that girl. It might be money enough to cover your expenses. It might be that you think you need perfectly behaved children. You might think you need to be healed of your sickness. Now, such things are not actually bad desires. There's nothing necessarily that is wrong with desiring such things, but they won't necessarily fall into God's category of needs in your life. If you ever felt that you have been in need but God hadn't supplied it, then if the Lord really is your shepherd, then I can say with all certainty that whatever you thought you needed, you didn't really need it, or at least you didn't really need it then. Because the Lord does supply all our needs. And truth be told, sometimes we do need times of difficulty to help us to remember where our trust ought to be. Now, too much good for us tends to make us overconfident in ourselves. How easy it is for us to forget God when things are good. When we have everything that we need, then it's so simple to forget that what we need most is the Lord. But we do really need some things in life. Food and water make a good start. But when the Lord is your shepherd, he does provide. Verse 2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This is such a picture of contentedness. The sheep lying down in a pasture full of green grass. The shepherd leading his sheep down to the quiet waters, not to the rapids where they might get drawn away, but to this peaceful water where they can drink without danger. And their bellies are satisfied with the necessities. They are made to lie down and rest in those green fields. The sheep are not worried about where their next meal will come from. They're not concerned about their lack of water. They are content and at rest. When the Lord is your shepherd, he will provide to you what you need, so you don't need to be anxious about what is coming. And Jesus said, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And therein lies the rest for you when the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord provides. The foremost concern of our mind should be those things of greatest necessity, belonging to the kingdom of God, and possessing that righteousness that can only come from Christ. But of course, Jesus doesn't mean to say that if you sit on the street corner contemplating the kingdom of heaven alone and do nothing else, that food and clothing will fall into your lap from the heavens. The Lord's providence extends also to your abilities to feed and clothe yourself. But it means that we don't need to worry about such things, because the Lord, through all kinds of ways, will ensure that you will have what you need. When the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be in want. It's not just the physical necessities that the Lord provides, but the spiritual ones too. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. When the Lord is your shepherd, he restores your soul. He takes responsibility for your life, for your soul. And when it is broken, he will heal it. When it is lost, he will find it. When it is down, he will revive it. And that is what God has done in Jesus Christ. He has given us new life. He has taken us from the deadly peril that we were in when we were dead in our sins. Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has restored us to life. And he continues to restore people. Those lost in darkness, those who are spiritually dead, can still receive new life. And it is Christ who is doing that. And the changes that he works in us are not done merely with salvation, for he leads us in paths of righteousness. When the Lord is your shepherd, he says to you, walk this way, live this way, and because you are his sheep, you will recognize his voice and you follow. You tread those paths of righteousness because that is where he leads you. It means that when the Lord is your shepherd, your life will be changed. No longer will you be lost and constantly wandering the paths of sin and wickedness. Instead, having been revived and restored, you will be empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. And you will begin to walk in the paths of righteousness, living your life according to his will, according to his commands. And why are we led to paths of righteousness? Why is it that we are to obey his commands? Well, the psalm says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is for his glory. It is for the reputation of his name. If the Lord is your shepherd, is that how you will live? Now, can you imagine if some sheep were actually let loose on the main street in town and left to cause mischief and chaos? Imagine if they got into the produce section in Aldi or Coles. They would leave little surprises all around on the pathways. They would certainly interfere with the traffic, and I dare say the police would have words to say with the careless owner. If the Lord is your shepherd, you are his sheep. And what his sheep do matters to him. It reflects on his name, reflects on his reputation. What his sheep do reflects upon his glory. And so when the Lord is your shepherd, you can expect him to lead you in paths of righteousness, and you can expect his discipline upon you if you are not careful to keep to them, because your life, your actions reflect on his name. But notice how it happens. He leads us. It is not something that we are expected to do without his help. And so his word is a guide to you, and his Spirit fills you with a desire for righteous living and the power to be able to live righteously. He will supply all you need to live righteously. And so when the Lord is your shepherd, he will lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Life, though, is not all green pastures and days of restful contemplation. If you have found that in your life, we would all wish to be you. This world is full of trouble, and trouble comes knocking on our doors. But when the Lord is your shepherd, it changes the way in which you face trouble. In verse 4, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the valley of the shadow of death refers to the darkest moments of our life. Even when sheep were pastured in fields of green grass, the seasons would change, and the time would come when the shepherd needed to move them from one pasture to another pasture. And it wasn't simply one field separated by another fence. It would be that the shepherd would need to lead them from one place to another, and in between there would be places of danger and trouble. But when the Lord is your shepherd, there is no need to fear. David isn't saying that he won't have moments of fear, but he is saying that those fears will be stilled when he looks to the Lord and finds the comfort that he needs to end that fear. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. When you're in those darkest moments of your life, the Lord, your shepherd, will not leave your side. He is always there. Now, this is a far cry from Psalm 22, where Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, Jesus was forsaken as he bore our sins and received the full penalty for our sins. For our sins, we deserve to be forsaken. We deserve to be let alone, to wander away into the wilderness and to die. But Jesus himself was forsaken instead of us, so that all who trust in him would never be left alone. And so here we are, the sheep that have been restored to life. We are being led in paths of righteousness, being shepherded by the Lord. And when the Lord is your shepherd, he will never leave your side. He will always be with you. He will never forsake you. In darker times, we find comfort in his presence, but we also find comfort in his rod and his staff. The rod in Scripture is a symbol of authority, but it's also a weapon for beating off attackers and for administering justice and discipline. But that rod is a comfort. For the sheep, it is the symbol and instrument of the shepherd's control over the safety of the sheep. By his power and authority, the Lord will keep us safe from any lasting harm. And by his staff, he gently guides us. And the Lord is your shepherd. He will coax you along the right paths. He will guide you along your way. He will keep you from harm. And when we encounter the valley of the shadow of death, there is no need to fear, because he is with us. Now, the greatest valley of the shadow of death is that time of our life as death itself approaches. And even there, where the valley is at its darkest and most deadly, we have no reason to fear. Why? Because when the Lord is your shepherd, even death is not the end. There is no need to fear death. For the faithful, there is life beyond death. There is a resurrection and a life to come, a full restoration of our bodies and our health. There is a time coming when we will live with the Lord forever in a place which is perfection and wonder. Why fear death when what is to come is living for eternity in the presence of the Lord with a life full of blessing? Now, Hosea the prophet said it first, and Paul said it too. Where, O death, is your sting? When our fear of death is gone because of our faith in Christ, then even the darkest valley of the shadow of death can be trod without fear, because the Lord, our shepherd, is with us. And the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not fear. You will trust the Lord to protect you, even in the valley of the shadow of death. When the Lord is your shepherd, his blessings will be brought to you, and no matter what your circumstances are. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I hear the psalm sounds like it's moved completely away from the imagery of the shepherd. And now a feast is being prepared. The anointing of oil at least symbolizes blessing. And along with the meal, we have this kind of series of pictures that symbolize a prosperous and happy time. Table is being prepared, a feast, oil to refresh, perhaps even to bless, a cup that overflows. But what is the situation here? This is all done in the presence of our enemies. Now, sometimes our enemies are banging on our doors. Sometimes they're waiting for the opportunity to bring us harm. Sometimes our enemies are just busy with their own lives, and for the moment their attention is elsewhere. That's the kind of world we live in. We're surrounded in this world by people who are not with us. They don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ as we do. This world is not made up of just sheep, but also goats and wolves and thieves and destroyers. We're surrounded by temptations to sin. We're surrounded by people who don't trust God, who don't believe in Christ. And some of them will rise up against you because, and simply because, you were a Christian. But in the midst of the troubles of this world, when the Lord is your shepherd, he will continue to bless you regardless of your enemies. Regardless of the situation you are in, he will continue to bless you. And so even the trials brought upon you by your enemies will still be times of blessing because of the Lord. Now, periods of persecution turn into periods of growth in faith. Periods of rejection and alienation draw you closer to the Lord who is by your side. Now, shepherd, the Lord is sovereign over all things, and so none of our enemies are powerful enough to interrupt the Lord's plans to bless his people. And so there is nothing to stop the flow of blessings that come from the Lord to his sheep. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's interesting here, we don't have to go and spend our entire lives chasing after goodness and mercy. But instead, the Lord's goodness and mercy chases us when he's our shepherd. When the Lord is your shepherd, his goodness, his loving kindness, his mercy and his grace and his love will follow you all the days of your life. That's the kind of relationship that he wants with you. And in the end, we will come into his glorious presence and dwell in his house forever. What a psalm. What great promises. When the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be in want. You shall have no need to fear. And his goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of life. And you're going to end up dwelling in his house with him forever. These are great promises. But they cannot be yours if the Lord is not your shepherd. How do we come to have the Lord for our shepherd? How can you know that you aren't holding on to the promises of this psalm in vain? After all, David doesn't say the Lord is your shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He certainly doesn't say, no, the Lord is the shepherd of all people. So, but by what right can you claim this psalm as your own? Now, David knew the Lord. When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's actually using the personal name of the Lord, Jehovah or Yahweh or whichever way you want to say it. Jehovah is my shepherd. And he's saying this because this is more than just knowledge of the name of the Lord. It is the name by which David came to know the Lord. It is the Lord who brought salvation to David himself. It is the Lord who brought salvation to his people in David's day. It was the Lord who was working wonders in, through, and around David all his life. David knew the Lord, and the Lord knew David. That's how David knew. So how is it that we can come to know the Lord as our shepherd? It is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, and we come to know him as our Savior. We come to know the Lord through Jesus. We come to know the Lord in Jesus. We come to know Jesus as the Lord and as the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Jesus says he is the shepherd that the Old Testament speaks about. He is the shepherd of Psalm 23. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is the Lord. He is the good shepherd. Are you one of his sheep? Jesus says, "I know my sheep and my sheep know me." Do you know the Lord Jesus? And I don't mean know about him. There are a lot of people who knew about him. Do you know him? In John chapter 10, scripture says, the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you will know Jesus. You will have believed him and you will know his voice when he speaks and you will follow him. Not everybody can claim Psalm 23 as their own because Jesus is not the shepherd of all people. Only those who know him, believe him, and follow him are his sheep. When you have come to know his voice, when you have come to trust him, when you believe him and follow him, then you are certainly, without a doubt, one of his sheep. And that can never change. All of the promises of Psalm 23 become yours to hold forever. When the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be want. When the Lord is your shepherd, you will have no need to fear. When the Lord is your shepherd, his goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will come to live in the house of the Lord forever. They are concrete and certain promises to every single one of his sheep. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Psalm 23 is a psalm of great promises. It speaks of the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, and of the relationship we share through him with our Heavenly Father. May this psalm be a comfort to you in times of distress. May it be a reminder of your need of the Lord in times of plenty. And may it bring home to you the certainty of your salvation and of the life to come. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, especially for its promises, Lord, that we can dwell in your house forever is a wonderful promise, Lord. That your goodness and your mercy and your love will follow us all the days of our life. A wonderful promise. That you will always be with us, that you will lead us and comfort us, always keep us near. A wonderful promises. Lord, we thank you for all that we have in Jesus. And we pray too, Lord, for those who are still to hear his call. For those with whom we've been sharing the gospel, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will finally recognize your voice. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.